Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. All right, welcome to the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there. You know, hopefully sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Of course, you can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan is the Man with three.
All right. Now, you know, Dan, I got to throw this out there right to start, and I am really just – I'm tired of seeing this commercial for the 30 for 30 on this thing. And, you know, I'm just kind of tired of a lot of this BS, and I just want to make it clear to anybody and everybody who is listening that hot dog eating is not a sport. All right, I don't know why, you know, I guess they were desperate for content on the 4th of July, so the Mickey Mouse Network started carrying it. This is not an actual sport, people. Take it from a big fat guy, okay? I had the hot dogs for dinner, all right? It's not a sport. So, you know, I guess they did something on the Kobayashi guy, and I was watching the Lock It In show on Fox Sports 1, and they had Joey Chestnut, right? Yeah, Chestnut, not Chesswood, on as a guest. I don't get this. I don't know who came up with the idea. Because, you know, in reality, you're eating the hot dog and then you're soaking a bun in disgusting water and eating it. If you really want it to be a contest, drag it through the garden and make them eat it all at the same damn time instead of separating it. That would be an actual eating contest. Otherwise, it's just like a kid playing with his food, taking it apart. And I don't get the process of how in the hell somewhere down the line – somebody started thinking this was an actual sport, but you get over it because it's not. So,
I mean, if you want to make it a real sport, make it the Chicago hot dog eating contest.
Right. You know, and I mean, that's what I don't understand why no one has actually thought of that. Where you make it a Chicago hot dog eating contest, and you have to eat them Chicago style, and you can't take them out of the bun. You have to eat it in the bun with the, you know, the tomato, the pickle, the sport pepper, and everything else we put on the stuff here in Chicago. You know, because, I mean, in reality, if you've ever watched that competition, it's disgusting. You know, I mean, literally, you shove as many hot dogs as you can in your mouth, and then you soak these buns in water till they're basically non-existent, and you choke them down. That's, you know, that's not really any kind of contest or, you know, anything like that. I don't know. You know, I guess my question would be, where does the athletic ability come in for this? You know, what kind of athlete do you have to be? Well, how do you train? Do you eat? Because if that's all you do, I've been training for this event my whole life.
I
So yeah, I just, you know, but yeah, I keep seeing frickin', you know, they're doing a 30 for 30 on the Kobayashi thing, and he got himself in trouble because I don't remember what he didn't want to compete or he didn't want to do something, and you know, it was like, whatever, great, who cares? You know, I mean, I don't care. I think it's all ridiculous, and you know, the fact that they call it a sport and they put it on a sports network makes it even a bigger clown out of it. I mean, it's akin to the fact that, you know, I was flipping channels and saw a damn cornhole tournament the other day where the winning team got like $20,000. You know, I mean, this was a game we used to just goof around and play for fun. And, you know, are we to the point, Dan, where if somebody finds something they're good at, that they make it a sport because they suck at everything else? Is that where we are at this point? You know, everybody's got to find something they can win a medal in and get a trophy?
I mean, if I was good at cornhole, I'd definitely be playing for $20,000.
So, yeah. Well, you know, and the weird part is, I mean, is it really difficult to get good at that game? I mean, I pitched slow pitch softball for years underhand. I'm guessing with probably very minimal practice, I could get good at it probably pretty quickly. So, yeah, I just don't understand it at all. But I was just kind of like, oh, okay, here you go. You know, what's the next sport we're going to make up so we can find people who, you know, who suck at everything else, but they're good at this. So.
Yeah, I know. I mean, cornhole is, you know, it's not so much a sport, but more of a sport. At least it's athletic as opposed to poker or eating contest.
Yeah, well, you know, I think I'm under the impression now that I've decided that things you can do drunk shouldn't be considered sports. And, you know, that's kind of where cornhole fits in. You know, if you can get hammered and still play pretty well, I don't believe that qualifies as a sport. So, yeah, I just don't seem to buy it. And I'm just like, yeah, okay, I think I'm done with this for my lifetime here. But, you know, somehow, you know, and again, I'm guessing the Mickey Mouse Network is desperate for content because, you know, every time I flip by there, you can find a good old cornhole tournament going on. So.
Yeah, well, you think about it, then, Jack. You pay these people $20,000 to win. Isn't that a hell of a lot less than they would have been paying any of those guys that fired over the last couple of years?
Yeah, probably. So,
you know, because I mean, what else? What other kind of program could they do? You know, maybe the only thing that would draw anything that doesn't cost a whole, well, shouldn't cost a whole lot, would be some kind of reality TV. But you and I both know there's not an athlete from the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, or even hockey that's going to do it for nothing.
Yeah, it was just one of those frustrating things because I keep seeing the commercials, you know, obviously because we're just a couple days away and, you know, it'll be on the network and then they'll want to show highlights of it. And I'm like, wait, really? This is, you know, this is definitely not a sport. So, you know, sorry, especially if I could be good at it. It's definitely not a sport at this point in time in my life. Oh, you know, just one of those, one of the qualifications for it. I mean, hey, great. It's, you know, it's fantastic that a guy can eat all this food and not die or get sick, or maybe they get sick afterwards. Who knows? I mean, it's got to go somewhere. I mean, you know, I saw Joey Chestnut talking about eating 75 hot dogs, and, you know, I just had 4 and I was pretty full. So, of course, I did eat, you know, the bun with it. That's a little different story there. But, yeah, I just, you know, I don't know if I eat 75 hot dogs a year or 2 years. Do you?
No.
So, you know, but all right, enough of that garbage. We will move on to, oh, anything that's actually considered sports related. And I did see Dan, and I'm really not sold on this move, but apparently if and when or hopefully soon Nathan Eovaldi comes off the disabled list for the Red Sox, they have decided that he will be their closer. No questions asked. Now, I guess the biggest issue I have with this, Dan, is, well, A, he's never closed in his career. So, you know, that's point number one. And then point number two, we are talking about a pitcher who is the definition of injury prone. Do they honestly think he's going to be able to go on back-to-back nights?
Well, you know, I guess you answered my question before I even asked it, because in one of my fantasy teams, I actually made a trade for Hector Vasquez, I think his name is. He's another Red Sox pitcher that's on the DL that's going to be moving from the starting role to the pen when he gets back. When, I don't know, he's been on the DL for 10 days forever now, so.
Yeah.
You know, go figure that one.
Yeah, well, Eovaldi, actually, they moved him to 60-day DL, you know, a while ago. He's recovering from surgery. They had to remove loose, what they called, bodies from his right elbow. So basically they had to go in and clean it out. He pitched 4 games before that happened, Dan. Last year he pitched just 22 games. He missed all of 2017 with injury. He's made 30 starts one time in his career, Dan. That was 2014. And he's been in the big leagues full-time since 2012. So in 7 full-time seasons, he's reached 30. He made 33 starts one time. He's never pitched 200 innings. You know, this guy is injury-prone all over the place. I know he made a name for himself. He had a great postseason last year. And, you know, everybody's just kind of licking their chops off that because he did make 4 relief appearances. But, you know, I don't see any way, shape, or form this guy falls into a legitimate closer where you can go, hey, we need Eovaldi for the 3rd straight day. Get him up. I can't see him being able to do that. Can you?
No, I can't.
You know, and I get the Red Sox are desperate at this point. I mean, you know, stupidly they didn't go out and get a closer because they were trying to save money. They've now fallen about 10 games behind the Yankees in the division. You know, and now they did this all to themselves. I mean, this was all their choice. They decided that, you know, they could turn the closer role over to Matt Barnes. That didn't work out. He does have 4 saves. He's got a 4.93 ERA. Ryan Brazier's been a little better. He's got 7 saves, but his ERA is 3.41. You know, Brandon Workman has picked up the slack lately. He's picked up 3 saves, is actually 7-1, and has an ERA of 1.70. So, you know, and again, you know, they did it to themselves. This is the way they wanted to go. They, you know, didn't want to bring Kimbrel back. They didn't want to go into the luxury tax. So they wanted to save some money, and now they're kind of eating it. But, of course, it's not their fault. It's going to be everybody else's fault. But, yeah, I don't buy this one at all, Dan. You know, call it what you will or however you want to look at it, but I just can't see this guy being able to go out and go day after day like a closer has to go. I mean, am I missing something? You know, I mean, was his postseason really that good that they're buying this is the role for him after they overpaid him to bring him back?
I mean, I think they're just trying to do whatever they can to preserve his arm, right?
Yeah, but, you know, then, you know, if you're going to do that, put him in the role the Giants put Lindstrom in. You know, don't go out and call him a closer because he's not going to be able to be a closer. You know, you're still going to need a closer by committee. And, you know, I get it. You're paying him, you know, $17 million a year for the next 4 years. But, you know, that was kind of your own stupidity. I mean, looking at his track record, I don't know where they got the idea that, you know, he was going to be this guy. I mean, okay, he's only 29. Maybe you could sell me on that. But again, you know, we're looking at a guy who can't go to the mound because there's always something wrong with him. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's just, you know, the Red Sox, I think they're just going to kind of continue to fade. And if they get lucky, and I mean really lucky here, they might catch a wild card spot. But, you know, even at that, with the way they're going, I mean, it's looking, you know, more and more like they, you know, well, they screwed themselves right out of the gate because they were stupid with their pitching. And, you know, they paid for it early because they didn't give the guy spring training. Because, again, kind of like you said yesterday, they were trying to be the smartest team in the room instead of actually being a smart team. And now it's cost them. I was wrong. They're actually 11 games behind the Yankees in the standings. It does look – I want to double-check this. It looks like they're just 2 games out of the final wild card spot. But they're going to have to jump a couple teams to get there. They're going to have to get by Oakland, Cleveland, and Texas. So I don't know. I mean, they're going to Toronto to start a series tonight. The Blue Jays aren't very good, but you know they can put up some offense. So you know we'll have to see how that goes. But at least they're, you know, as long as they don't have jet lag or whatever from being in England for a couple days, you know, maybe they can get off to a good start. But you know, they're slowly but surely they're turning into one of the more disappointing teams in the league, aren't they?
Big time.
So
I mean, well, then the fact that, you know, Mookie Betts isn't the MVP that he was last year.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's been rough. And, you know, I know, you know, Ben and Teddy's been dinged up. And, you know, I don't think, you know, J.D. Martinez isn't really having that same kind of year. I know Xander Bogaerts is having a fantastic year, which is, you know, which is good for them. But, you know, obviously you need more than just the, you know, just the one guy. And they... You know, they don't, you know, they don't really have that magic going again. It's basically been Bogaerts and Rafael Devers kind of carrying the load. I mean, Martinez is hitting .289 and does have 18 home runs, leads the team. But other than that, I mean, I think just about everybody else was a disappointment. I think they weighed too heavily with Dustin Pedroia being able to come back. You know, lucky for them, Michael Chavez has been a nice surprise. But, yeah, I just think they made some really critical mistakes in the offseason. You know, not only in the offseason, but then in spring training with the way they tried to manage their pitching. And it's, you know, it's cost them now. And, you know, it's July, so it's getting serious. We got the trade deadline coming up. You know, they're one of those teams that are on the bubble. They're going to have to make the decision on if they're in or not. And sadly, I don't really think they don't really have an option, do they, with the contracts they have? I mean, they have to be in, right?
Pretty much, but I mean, you talked about too much stock in Pedroia, but, you know, what about Mitch Moreland and Steve Pierce?
Yeah, well, you know, Pierce was another guy who made his hay there in the postseason. You know, he was World Series MVP. And, you know, it's odd that they both ended up being hurt. You know, both Moreland and Pierce are both hurt. So, it hasn't worked out either way there. And, yeah, you just kind of wonder if – I don't know. Do you think they just got too complacent with winning and they decided that they needed to bring everybody back and now they're noticing that maybe that wasn't the best idea?
Well, you know, that's the other part is they got too excited about the guys that helped out in the postseason. Sometimes you can't continue to hold on to that.
Yeah, no, you know, yeah, you always need to tweak, you know, here and there. And I mean, we've been waiting for their catching duo to do something for years now. You know, one time it was three guys, but they finally got rid of Blake Swihart. You know, Vasquez isn't doing badly, 289 with 11 bombs, but Sandy Leon stinks. You know, he's hitting all of 214. So you just got to get to the point where, you know, don't you have to just give Vasquez the job with the way Leon is playing? I mean, why do they continue to try to work this guy in the lineup every couple days? I mean, I could see once a week to give Vasquez a break, but, you know, he plays multiple times a week and he stinks. You know,
he is doing better than Steve Pierce, though.
Yeah, but Pearson's been hurt most of the year. You know, Leon has at least been healthy.
Yeah, no, I was just being sarcastic. You know, at 30 years old, if you're still behind the plate and you haven't figured it out, you know, I think, you know, what if they've honestly been waiting for this guy to kind of break out for the last maybe the third or fourth season?
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like it's been, you know, 10 years they've been waiting to, you know, they've got allegedly have the best catching people in baseball. But, you know. I mean, like, you look at their staff and, you know, they should have a good rotation. You know, Chris Sale, David Price, Rick Porcello, Eduardo Rodriguez, and then originally it was Nathan Eovaldi. Now it's a kind of a cluster of who's actually going to get the role. But, you know, we'll see how that works out. But, again, you know, you look at how they handled spring training, and, you know, that really kind of killed Chris Sale. You know, he's coming around now, but, you know, he's 3-7. So he piled up a lot of those losses early. Porcello has struggled. David Price finally looks like he's got it figured out after, 12 or 15 years in baseball. So we'll see if he can keep pulling. He gets the start for them tonight. But, you know, they were supposed to have such a great farm system. And with the exception of, you know, Chavis or how people are pronouncing it, it really doesn't seem to have produced much, you know, when they need it now.
No. And I was there when Chavis hit two home runs against the White Sox.
See? But you didn't catch either of them.
Well, I was behind the plate.
Oh, well, that's not going to do you any good. Uh-huh. You know, yeah, so, but, you know, it will be interesting here, and I'm really interested to see now with the, you know, with the singular trade deadline, you know, instead of all this BS waiver crap to have to deal with, it's going to be really interesting. You know, there are some teams right there along with the Red Sox that are on, you know, on the bubble. So, you know, you've got to wonder, you know, will they, you know, is Evaldi going to be the answer, or will they actually try to go out and find a closer? You know, even in the articles I've read, you know, there's a lot of complaints. Like this one says here, the Red Sox are up against the second luxury tax threshold. So they don't really want to add any salary. So, you know, that could be become an issue, and they may, you know, they may kind of go away from not adding anybody. But, you know, then I can listen to Red Sox. Well, you know, the Red Sox fans will cry just like the Cubs fans do here, you know, no matter what goes on. But, you know, you got nobody to blame but your own front office. You know, don't start pointing fingers at anybody else or blaming anything else. It's all on them. They had a terrible off season, and it's just been progressively worse for them. So, it's on them, Boston. Sorry. You know, just gotta, you know, gotta figure it out. But you know, there are some of these, you know, these odd bubble teams, Dan, and I'm wondering what you kind of think here. You know, like where the Cardinals are at. You know, we're looking at St. Louis. I'll just start there randomly here. You know, they're a 500 team. I think a lot of people thought they were going to be better than a 500 team. You know, they just lost Jordan Hicks for, you know, all of this season, and since he's having elbow surgery, probably the next two or three with the way they bring these guys back. Marcell Ozuna just got hurt, so he's going to miss. I know he's got a fracture in his right hand, so he's going to be out, obviously, longer than the 10 days. Well, you know, do you pack it in if you're the Cardinals this year and just try to get healthy? You know, I mean, or do you – maybe try to grab a off the rack guy that nobody's expecting and see if they could possibly get back in it. I mean, you know, neither the Cubs or the Brewers are running away with the NL Central. So, and if my internet would pick up, I could tell you how many games the Cardinals are behind. There we go. Yeah, they're just 3.5 out in the division. So what do you do if you're sitting there in St. Louis?
I think you continue to make that run for it. You're only 2 games out of the wild card.
So, you know, let's see who else they have on this nice little list here I just found. Oh, hey, they have the Brewers on here as well, Dan. This is kind of interesting. You know, Milwaukee's actually in first place by a game right now. It's been back and forth, you know, all season with the Cubs. It looks like they're finally going to turn over an everyday spot to Keston Heroux. You know, they designated Hernan Perez. They shipped Travis Shaw down to AAA. You know, it looks like he'll be taking over every day at second base. Do the Brewers jump on and do one of those, you know, just kind of sneaky ads they do? I mean, we know they're not going to go out and add anybody gigantic. You know, we'll hear all about how, well, yeah, the Brewers are really interested in Madison Bumgarner, or, you know, the Brewers are really interested in whoever this number one trade target is. And he's not going to Milwaukee. They're not going to make those kind of trades. You know, I mean, it'll be a very similar deal to like they got Gio Gonzalez last year. Do you see them doing that again to try to keep themselves hanging around?
They're going to have to. I mean, what's the thing that was the hot stuff last year isn't pitching like he did last year. And, I mean, between them and the Cubs, they've got to do something to kind of pull themselves ahead of them.
So, and then, you know, since we're in the National League, we'll stay here. This is kind of an interesting one. They are they're throwing the Phillies into this mix. You know, I mean, I honestly don't know if the Phillies need to make any kind of big move. I mean, maybe an outfielder to help plug in the void to for McCutcheon. And, you know, then obviously they got to decide what the heck they're doing with their bullpen. You know, I think David Robertson coming back healthy could kind of clear all that up right away. I'm not kind of sure if they belong here, Dan, but are you buying the Phillies as a, you know, a team that needs to make an important move at the trade deadline here?
I think so. I mean, they should be running away with the division, and they're fighting for wild card. They need to do something.
Yeah, you know, they are 5.5 back. I mean, is that more akin to the fact that, you know, I mean, let's face it, there's no other way to look at it. Bryce Harper stunk. So, you know, I mean, you get a little better production out of him, and maybe things turn around for you without you having to make a, you know, that big move. And again, we, you know, we're not really even sure who's going to be available at this point in time, but yeah, I mean, do you think that could solve it, a healthy David Robertson and Bryce Harper, or do they really need to go get, well, like for some reason here, they seem to think they need a starter. Do they need a starting pitcher?
Yeah, well, Jake Arrieta is kind of slipping too. You know, he's moved from number, you know, signed as a number one, down to a number two, down now this season to, you know, back end of the rotation.
Yes, poor Jake. Yeah, so you're saying you think they need to go out and get somebody?
Well, they need to get a couple bodies.
Yeah.
Someone that they could put in front or in behind Bryce Harper. I mean, because right now no one's afraid of him.
No, well, why would you be? You know, we talk about great bowling in the benefits of, but you know, there's no reason to go for at this point. But
while
we're in the NL,
I was just gonna say it would be different if the entire league was DH. We might have seen some different moves. You know, they might have been ones that went after Encarnacion.
Well, we'll see that soon. A couple of years. Once that new CBA comes in, we'll be taken care of there. So, but the other one over in the NL East here, you know, the Nationals are just apparently interesting enough to be talked about. I'm surprised to see that they are actually over 500. They are actually 42-41. Of course, they're 7 games out of the division, which, you know, can always make things a little rough, but they are, believe it or not, just a game and a half out of the second wild card spot, and actually a half game out of the first wild card spot. So they're right there. But I don't know if I'm their general manager, if I'm looking to add. I guess the big thing is bullpen, right? They got to go out and get some bullpen help because that's just been embarrassing.
Pretty much. I mean, you're not really, I don't think if you're the Nats, you're looking for anything really long-term. You're looking for some rentals.
Yeah, I this team is so hard to figure out. Like I said, I didn't realize they were over 500. I actually wouldn't be surprised if you told me they were 5 games under and only ahead of the Marlins in the division. But, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, all right. Well, let's wrap it up with a couple American League teams. And I've been hearing this a lot here from Houston. And apparently, nobody likes the back of the Astros rotation. You know, obviously, Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole are just fine at the front. And Wade Miley's done the job he was really expected to see, you know, as the third guy. But, you know, after that, it's been it's been a little muddled, and, you know, Brad Peacock just got injured. So, you know, it's a bit of a scuffle. They are, you know, 6.5 up on the surprising Rangers, who I don't think anybody expected to be kind of hanging around at this point. But, you know, there's – they have the farm system to go get somebody, but apparently they're reluctant to move Kyle Tucker, who's their top prospect. I don't know. You buy Houston need to make a move here?
I mean, if I think they should, if they can get something for nothing. You know, kind of like some of the deals that were done a couple of weeks ago. You know, if they were able to get a Yankees-type deal, and you know exactly what I mean by that. I don't know what secret power Cashman has, but he's able to bring guys into their system and pretty much give away nothing.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that won't be the good thing. But yeah, you know, I don't. You know, Peacock, I think Peacock's going to be back. You know, I know his ERA was a little high, but as a number four starter, I thought he was okay. They have all these prospects, and I don't understand why, you know, if you're in this situation, why aren't they using them? I know they had that Corbin Martin up, and he got hurt. But, you know, they keep talking about what great prospects the Astros have. Now, wouldn't you think would be the time to get them up here and see what they could do in the back of the rotation?
Yeah, I mean, because if you're going to keep talking about it, I'm at the point where I'm like, I thought we already seen all their great prospects.
So, yeah, well, you know, I mean, it seems like they're unlimited at this point from – you know, from what I've heard, you know, they have the kid who was suspended. What was it, Forrest Whitley, who was suspended for 50 games or whatever last year, or was it 2 years ago? You know, he was a top prospect. So I don't know why we haven't seen four of these guys, or maybe it was just kind of overstated by the guys who like to talk about their prospect. But yeah, kind of looking here, Whitley and Tucker were 1 and 2 rated for their top prospects. Whitley hasn't, and this is the Baseball Prospectus list. So, you kind of wonder, you know, like Corbin Martin made his major league debut. He was 10 on this list. David Paulino's on here. He's been up and down. He's a right-handed pitcher. They have a couple other pitchers on the list here as well. They have Rodrigo Armenteros and JB, oh boy, Bukakas is what I'm going with. But, yeah, I mean, this is – you'd think if there's ever a time to kind of get guys in, this would be it, right?
Yeah. Well, unless you're worried about arbitration clock.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, looking here, Whitley is actually 8-5 in Triple A. Oh, excuse me, no, that's wrong. He's actually 0-3 in Triple A. He's made 5 starts, pitched 8 games, but. Yeah, kind of looking at it here, Dan, talk about a guy who is babysat with innings. I think at this point, if he's their top prospect, he's a reliever. You know, looking at his minor league career, he's never pitched more than 46 and a third innings.
Jeez.
So, I mean, there's no chance in hell he can come up and help the rotation. So maybe that explains why – you know, his name hasn't really been bantered around as anything more than, what it is. Let me see where some of the other guys are and, if they're anything possible. It looks like this, and I'm going to butcher his name, so I'm just going to stick with JB. He's at Double A right now, but we're looking at another guy who's been babysat through innings. He's actually at his career high right now at 63 and a third. and he's pitched it's his third year in the organization. So it, you know, with it looks like with the way they're developing pitchers, it's going to take these guys too long to get ready to actually pitch in the major leagues. So they're not going to be up to use whatsoever.
Well, I mean, are they teaching them how to pitch, or are they just teaching them how to throw hard? Because with low innings, that means you're just trying to get 95-plus guys up to 104, as opposed to guys who can actually pitch the ball.
Yeah, it's tough. You gotta kind of start to look at this and wonder, what the hell are they doing? You've got what are supposed to be these fantastic arms, but there's no innings attached to any of them. So they're going to get to the majors and you're going to go, well, good Lord, you can't pitch him that long. He doesn't have any innings under his belt. So, again, we get to the point where it's teams kind of doing it to themselves. So, and then I didn't lie to you, Dan. There is a seventh team on this list, and God forbid we don't ever talk about a trade in baseball without the Yankees being mentioned. So for some reason, the Yankees are on this list. They apparently have a high sense of urgency for a starting pitcher. So I don't know, if or why or how they're going to go about getting it, but it's interesting, especially because Domingo Herman is due back tomorrow, so that would mean their rotation would actually be intact. You'd have Tanaka, Hop, Herman, Sabathia, and Paxton. So if they went out and got another starting pitcher, Dan, what the hell would they do with them? Would they finally do the dreaded, we're going to six men? Would that be a possible option here? I doubt it with the Yankees. And, let's face it, it would basically be kind of stupid and probably screw up everything they've got. And, I know, like you look at it, Tanaka's been really good. Herman was really, really good when he was there. Hop has had his struggles. That ERA up over five isn't great. Paxton hasn't quite been, I think, the stopper they thought they were getting. But, you're looking at these guys and, they're making their starts. Tanaka hasn't missed the start. Hop has 17. Sabathia and Paxton have both made 13, but they are healthy now. So, and Herman has made 12. He'll be making, 13 on Wednesday night. So I don't know. I think it's more just the idea of, if they can keep these guys healthy and kind of work it around the bullpen, because they do have a great bullpen. It's looking more and more like Luis Severino is done for the year. He had another setback in a throwing session, and it just doesn't look good for him making his way back. And I just don't know, we added a guy. They're going to go out and, of course they're going to, you're going to hear all about how the Yankees want Madison Bumgarner. So we go get Bumgarner, and then where in the hell do you put him? Who loses their spot? Do you actually send Hop to the bullpen because he's got a 5-plus ERA? Or, do you send Herman to the bullpen because he's the young guy? Obviously it's not going to be, it's not going to be Sabathia. So, I get it. Anytime there's a trade, you want to talk about the Yankees, and I honestly think it's required that you have to talk about the Yankees when you're in any kind of a deal like that. But it just you know, it just, I don't think this makes a lot of sense for them at this point, you know, for them to kind of be going, oh, well, hey, we're going to add a, you know, we're going to add this starting pitcher. Oh, okay, great. Can you tell me what you're going to do with everybody else? Just out of curiosity. Nothing, no, you know, no judgment. Just let me know if and how or what you're, you know, you're doing with everybody else, and we'll, you know, we'll see how things go. So, but yeah, I you know, I guess why not? I mean, I would be less surprised if they added to the bullpen than I would as a starter. But hey, you know, well, again, what, you know, what do I know? And we'll see if the you know, if the Yankees go out and trade for everybody, and if they always need a player to.
I'm not gonna upset you, but it would be something if the Yankees could get Madison Bumgarner, don't you think? But I mean, at this point, I think the way Smarge has been playing, you know, he might be a guy I'd actually go after.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, I mean, no, you I think you are the only guy who can, but you know, yeah, he's kind of the guy, especially in a situation like this where, you know, it's you're only looking to add to the back end of your rotation. You're not going out looking for an number one. So, you know, I mean, it's wouldn't be a terrible thing there, but I, you know, again, the tough part is who do you decide loses their spot?
Well, I mean, everyone keeps getting hurt. So, well, you know, you think about this. With Samardzija, you still have, what, a year or two? Where Bumgarner,
yeah,
isn't he supposed to be a free agent?
Yeah, he will be.
So, I mean, why would – they already have the ease. So, I mean, for me, you know, and call me wrong, but whatever, giving up some, you know, you're going to actually have to give up something to really get Madison Bumgarner away from the Giants, even if it is for half a season. But I think you can get away with giving up a little less for Samardzija and have him for a couple more seasons. I mean, he's definitely way improved since his time with the White Sox to now. I mean, even this season, his numbers are pretty damn good. And if you added him into the back end of your rotation, even, you know, third, fourth, whatever, I mean, you're almost – you'd have a really hot lineup, and maybe you can go trying to make it a six-man rotation for a little bit because, you know, at some point, CeCe's going to need some time off. You know, I know they're not supposed to do the IL for Rez, but, I mean, how bad would it be if knowing that you've got a solid guy? And not only that, you've got a solid guy for the next 2 years when CeCe's gone. And I forget who else is up, but I don't remember if J.A. Happ is – his deal was this year and next year or if it was last year and this year. But, I mean, it's not a bad route to go.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's definitely an option for them. So, you know, we'll have – you know, again, we'll have to see. I don't know if or, you know, if they would want to carry the contract. You know, again, obviously, if that's something they would be interested in, that's always the tough part with deciding, you know, if or how a team is going to make that move. But
for the Giants, you know, for the Giants' perspective, if you're able to unload his contract, you know, if you take nothing and someone takes on the majority of that contract, that leaves you with a lot more money, free money, to re-sign Bumgarner.
Yeah, well, they're not going to re-sign him. He's not going back there. They're in strict rebuild mode. So they're, you know, they're looking to, you know, they're looking to rework that team. That's why they brought that guy in, that Zahidi guy in. So, you know, that's all he's there for, to get that all set up and get things going in the direction. Just a matter of how many guys they can move and when they're going to start moving them. You know, if they wait too long, you know, who knows what they're doing. But yes, you know, sooner or later they got to get going on something. So, but what, you know, maybe, you know, just kind of jumping subjects here real quick, because I didn't understand this one at all, and I thought I read it correctly. Did I see that the Warriors are retiring Kevin Durant's number after just 3 seasons there?
I did not see that, so you should have had that on hold if your AT&T would have let you, because I did not see anything about that. And how can you retire a number of a guy who's still playing?
Well, you know, you can do that. I've seen teams do that before. But I just kind of thought, I mean, I'm going to see if I can find it here, you know, at all. You know, as things are going on, maybe I can get something here on it. If my internet will cooperate. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, he played those 3 years, and they won 2 titles while he was there. But, okay, don't you need a little more than that to get your number retired?
It was only – well, I didn't even know that it was 2. It should have been 3, right? They lost that. That one to the Cavaliers.
Yeah, well, we had that one taken. They gave that one to LeBron, you know, where they needed LeBron to win one so they could do the third and deciding series against each other.
Yeah, which was dumb.
Well, you know, that's the NBA, you know, it's made for TV, so you're going to get you're going to get that stuff. I mean, how do you think the Lakers got what they managed to get this year? I mean, they didn't earn any of it. It was pretty much given to them. So, you know,
well,
that's,
they didn't make
you know, that's
out
how,
either, so.
Right. Well, that's why they want to make sure that, you know, they're in this year and there won't be a problem and, you know, any of that other fun stuff. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But yeah, it's just kind of, you know, more and more reason. I mean, when you actually look at the NBA, it just becomes more baffling why you would invest any time in it. I mean, it's as close to a fixed league as you can get. So, you know, we'll, you know, just kind of have to see. You know, it doesn't look like I can. Of course, I can't find anything on the Kevin Durant thing when I'm looking for it. But yeah, I thought I heard that today, and I just thought it was kind of weird that it was
hilarious.
Like, oh, yeah, you know, I was like, well, it's possible. You know, I was like, he played 3 seasons there, and they're retiring a number. So, but you know, maybe that'll come out down the road or something. Oh yeah, here you go. Warriors thank Durant, say they will retire number 35. Yeah, it wasn't crazy.
Huh.
So, there you go.
I mean, that's just stupid.
So, yeah, the CEO is Joe LaCobe, I believe it's pronounced. He said that Durant carried himself with class and dignity both on and off the court. even with his burner Twitter accounts, which I think they leave out of this. So.
I mean, it was three seasons. Not like he pulled a Stephon Marbury in China.
Well, that's kind of how I'm looking at it, is the fact that it was three seasons, and yet they're I don't understand how that qualifies enough to be considered having your jersey retired.
I mean, if you retire that jersey, doesn't that just take away anything Jordan did as any kind of – doesn't it, like, ruin it for pretty much the future of retiring any kind of Warriors jersey at least?
Well, you know, I guess the question kind of becomes then, does that mean – when Steph retires, they name the arena after him?
Well, they can't do that because that's a money generator. Well, I mean, unless you say, you know, Oracle presents the Steph Curry. No, I mean, going with that route, I think you'd have to say that they would have to have the Steph Curry Museum inside.
Well, I'm sure that would be, you know, that would be fine, you know.
Inside the stadium. But
yeah, because if you think about it, you did all this stuff for Durant, now obviously Curry is, you know, he means much more to the franchise than Durant did. And, you know, I get, you know, you could even say so does Draymond Green and Klay Thompson.
I was just going to.
So what do you do when those guys leave? You know, I mean, you retire their jerseys too, but they deserve more than that, don't they? If Durant gets a jersey retirement.
Well, I mean, the one thing I'd like to see is the Draymond Green statue of him kicking someone in between the legs.
That would be cool. If they would do that, that would be fantastic. But yeah, it's baffling. You know, it's like, wait, really? He's getting his number retired after three seasons of being on the team. So it just makes every other number retirement seem less and less, doesn't it?
Yeah, it loses any kind of value.
So,
I mean, if he came in and was there for six seasons and they won a championship every single year and then he decided to leave, I mean, you know, but they should have. Well, he was hurt, but I don't know. They should have won this year, too, regardless of Durant being hurt.
You know, I mean, you would think that, shouldn't the Heat be retiring LeBron's jersey? I mean, they won a couple titles while he was there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, they should have already, right?
Right. You know, you got to kind of wonder what's maybe taking them so long to make that move at this point. But, I just thought it was really weird. But, hey. All right. Now, I will not be done until Friday. I will not be done until Monday. We're going to come out and get I remember on Saturday at 5 o'clock at New Orleans. You know the deal, the 101 SportsMomentia.com. Look for the new blog popping up. Get the link while you're there. Follow along on the Facebook page. You better like this. I would really like it. Don't forget to go at SportsMomentia. Okay. You can find my blog on Twitter if you want to look at something. Just find it. You know, you think that's the kind of link to the live. It's fantastic. You have to remember. All you got to do is head over to team.com. You can listen to the podcast and you can do it.